Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60. Got that right, Donnie, didn't I? Yeah. I sometimes get confused. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 4. Arise, shine. Speaking to us, I hope. Yeah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, your sons come afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Amen.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you for this opportunity of opening your word, also the opportunity of reflecting on 2017 and looking forward into 2018. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would be in the midst of our time together right now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. These last 2 weeks have been a little bit of a challenging 2 weeks for me. I've not been very good at being sick. And as all 24 of my grandparents have told me, I should be resting and stopping coming to work and those sort of things. I have endeavoured to do that. And I have stopped at many times. Having stopped, I had the opportunity to reflect a lot more, to pray a lot more, and to listen to some random music. During the week, one of the songs I listened to was from an era that reminded me very much of when I grew up as a young man. And so I reflected a little bit on that, and I just want to share with you part of my reflections. You may pick up the song through my reflection. And I'll, if you get it right, just hold on to it, and at the end I'll see if you've got it. It says, this reflection's called Growing Up. It says, I lived in a housing commission area on the south side of town, in a blended family in a three-bed house. We always had family and friends around. We always had something happening. I had the odd girlfriend in those days, those times. We caught up every now and then. When I think back to those crazy days, I just smile and say, do you remember when? When sport was actually a sport, and when grooving was actually groovy, and when you danced, it actually meant something. When I was young, I actually was improving. Not like these days. Hanging out and really laughing with my friends, holding hands really meant something. Down at the milk bar at Mount Gravatt Central, my heart was pumping, but I didn't know what I was doing. Anyone pick the song? Charlie? No? Anyone?
My name is Jack.
My name is Jack? I don't know that song. It was from John Cougar Mellencamp, Cherry Bomb. The idea of that was reflecting back on a simpler time when sport actually was a sport. When it wasn't a business or it wasn't a betting thing that you could be a part of. It was just actually a bunch of people, whether boys or girls, playing a game for the sake of achievement and the enjoyment of the sport. And I reflect back on my days of falling in love and out of love, and I was not real good at that. I was terrible. Most of the time, I didn't have a clue if a girl liked me or not. Many times, the horse had bolted when I realised I actually liked this girl, and she would say stuff like, well, I wish you had said that 6 months ago when I liked you. Oh, I have no clue. And that's why when I wrote about holding hands actually meant something. I still, even to this day, when I hold Cynthia's hand, it means something. It means something significant. At the moment, not being well, holding hands or hugs have not been happening a real lot because she doesn't want to get sick again. She's already had one bout of it and she doesn't want any more. And I understand that. But I wonder about you, whether you reflect on those times where things were so much simpler and so much easier. Today, we're saying thank you to God for 2017. We're saying thank you for all the amazing things that God has been doing in and through this time. Beginning of this year seemed like a simpler time than it is today. Today seems to be so much more complex with some of the things that we'll be discussing at the partnership conference. Beginning of this year, we had Richie in the admin doing a whole bunch of amazing things, making things happen and making sure every I was dotted and every T was crossed, and just amazing stuff that he was doing. We had James working 4 days a week as the associate pastor with the mantle of getting a whole bunch of things up and going so that we can, as a church or as a group of people, meet in different spaces in different times. And we started with a youth pastor 2 days a week. Andrew came on. And what an amazing time that was when you have those sort of four people and myself working together to bring about change and hope and life in and through Kiwana Life. So what are some of the things that have happened? Well, let's have a look at Andrew with the youth pastoring. Yesterday they did a car wash, and I was here for a little bit at the morning, and what a great opportunity of people getting together and having their first bath in about a week. Some of the young people, boom, boom, yeah. And learning about slip, slop, slap. Hey, Daniel, being out in the sun, it can burn you. But it was a great opportunity, and I was only there for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and Cynthia told me more stories about what the young people got up to, and the folk from the church who came and got engaged in the whole time. So we had youth through to the older people. And that's just a snapshot of some of the stuff that Andrew's been getting up to with the young people. Our children's ministry. We had a few of the kids here today. They're upstairs. Now, upstairs has changed completely from the beginning of this year. We had four little rooms upstairs, and now it's just one great big open area where young people can do ministry in all different ways. Our children's ministry is excited about what God can do in and through this opportunity. James worked on starting up K2 and the four-wheel driving ministry. Beginning of this year, we said we wanted to do four-wheel driving once a month. We wanted to connect with people who would like to go four-wheel driving. And there are a number of folks who go four-wheel driving but don't come on a Sunday morning. There are a number of folks who go four-wheel driving and maybe connect in a home group. K2 starts on Wednesday nights and once a fortnight. And we've got four or five people now who call K2 their place in Kiwana Life. They've never been to a Sunday morning, but K2 is their home of Kiwana Life. They get the newsletter, the email newsletter that goes out, and they're so excited to see that they're a part of this church and this ministry through something called K2. And I'm excited to see that wanting to move forward and go forward in other ways. On a Monday morning, we have approximately 40-odd families come together, and a whole bunch of folk from this church wear this shirt. Stand up if you wear this shirt on a Monday morning. James, thank you. Pamela, yep. Look at these people. Thank you. Thank you very much, folks. Mainly music. What an amazing ministry into about 40 non-church families in and through our community with little kids. Now, this year has been an amazing year for us because it's the 10th year that we've been doing Mainly Music in and through this place. It's the 10th year, and it's been a challenge because a number of those families that connected have seen their kids finish. And so all of a sudden there was this grieving period of losing these families that have moved on, and new families have come in together, and so there's a whole bunch of getting to know these new folks. Also started this year is this shirt. If you wear one of these shirts on a Tuesday or Thursday, can you please stand up? Thank you, Anne. All right, yeah, give them a hand. Our coffee chaplaincy crew, who every Tuesday and Thursday, with a couple other folk from our community, go into a special ward down at the hospital, and they talk with folk who only one day a week get the pleasure of caffeinated coffee. The rest of the time they're on decaf, That's got to be terrible, hasn't it? But that one day they get caffeinated coffee, good Kai coffee from these lovely folks. They get to go in and sit and chat. And I've had the experience of going in with this crew a number of times. And mate, what an amazing opportunity. Now, I've had a number of the folks in there say to me that when they get out, they want to come to our church. They love these people. I've seen the people in the hospital open doors to other areas of chaplaincy because of the work these people have done. For the favour of God that is on this ministry has continued to grow and see great things take place. So the coffee chaplains have done a fantastic opportunity. Every Tuesday morning, another group gets together for coffee. I think we may have an addiction here at our church. Every Tuesday morning, they get together for coffee up at Urban Espresso. And the connection there has become such a cool connection with the folks that own Urban Espresso that we were able to invite them to different things and to make it feel like a real connection. We as the Caloundra City Pastors Network also meet there once a month and get to know the owners there as well. Friday afternoons, some of you may not be aware of this, but Friday afternoons every now and then when Urban Espresso has finished for the day and they've got leftover food, they'll give myself a call and I'll give Andrew a call, and Andrew will have free food that night at youth group because Urban Espresso don't want to throw it out, but they'd rather give it to a church. So you can see connections are happening in all these different places. And then we've got our home groups, and we can see amazing things happening in and through our home groups. People starting up new home groups. And I want to encourage you to think beyond your home group and maybe start up another home group. And maybe not people within these four walls, but there may be people in your community that need a place to belong, a place where they can work out what they believe, a place where they can become all that God has got them to be. And that place may be your house once a week as a home group place. God is doing some good things. And that's just a small reflection on what's been going on this year. There's been other things, and we could spend a lot more time on that. But I just want to bring us back to this passage that Arthur read out for us. It's a passage that's been used at Kiwanis Life over the 13 years that I've been here. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. That's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? But did you notice the first two words in the first verse? It says, arise, comma, shine, comma. Now, I don't know about you. I failed English. Literally, grade 12, I failed English. I thought it was more important to go and play football instead of doing a 50% exam for English. Simpler times. What was my poem about? simpler times. But I don't know about you, but arise, shine sound like action words to me. Or what's the say? Doing words. So is that adjectives? Verbs. Boy, oh boy, just as well I don't have to speak for a life. Okay, verbs. Very good. Thank you very much for those who corrected me. Wow. That was one in unison. I finally got us unified on one thing. Verbs are doing words, something that we are meant to do. We are meant to arise. We are meant to do it. Not just to kick back, not just to relax, but we are to arise. We are the ones that need to stand up and shine. Shine. I don't know about you, but if it just comes down to me shining, we're in big trouble. I got nothing to shine about, certainly not at the moment. But what is it? It says, for your light has come. Whose light is that? Very good. Jesus' light has come. For you and for me who declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, then you have the light of Christ in you. The light of Christ is in you and in me. Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 11 has two examples about this light. And it says, when you light the lamp, do not do what? Hide it. Do not hide it. Do not hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it under your bed. Don't do anything like that with it. But hold it up. In fact, put it on a lampstand and let it be seen Another one of the verses, because it's mentioned in a number of the Gospels, talks about putting it up on a mountain so all around can see it. And when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," behind him was this whopping great big candle, well, many actual candles, that would be seen when it was lit right out of the holiness of the temple. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And that light of Christ is in you and in me. So when this passage says, "Arise and shine," we need to stand up. We need to move forward. And we need to let the light of Christ shine in and through us, out into our community. Because as you and I see, we are in dark times. Isaiah was written many years ago, way before John Cougar Mellencamp sat down and wrote Cherry Bomb, way back. And he said that there was darkness over the earth then. We look around today and think, wow, there's darkness over the earth today. Every Tuesday morning, the pastors get together and pray in this building. And last week, six of them got together. And after the events that have been happening in our nation, a number of them said, "Lord, bring it on. Let your Holy Spirit fall anew." And there's this sense of praying for revival across our nation like never before. Later in the week, I got given a whole bunch of information about the National Day of Prayer and Fasting coming up in February next year, right across our nation, seeing Christians come together to see Christians to do what? Arise and shine, and let the light of Christ flow out through them, that the world may see. Because no matter what happens when the darkness floods in, one little light can shine brightly and kick out that darkness, can't it? And so if lots of lights come together, we need to do that. Let me just go on that light work a little bit further with you. When you go to camping, how many people went four-wheel driving with James? How many people went? Yep. And you had a bonfire? Just a little one, I hear.
Grant was there.
Enough said, I guess. So it was a big bonfire. A big bonfire. What is it about big bonfires that we like? What is it? There's something about them, isn't there? And what we see in the natural at a four-wheel drive camp, I want to see in the spiritual for us as a church. That lots of little lights coming together. Maybe we should get Grant along and pull us together and get us going as a bonfire for Jesus. A bonfire that lights across our community. A bonfire in the spirit that will touch and bring healing. Many of us are aching at the moment for friends and family that need healing in and through their lives. And as we heard from the kids, in this area of spiritual warfare, we need to pray. And when we think we've prayed, we've got to do what? Pray. And when we think we've prayed twice, we need to do it what? Pray. To never, ever give up. So 2018 for us as a church is going to be a challenge. But we need to arise and shine. We need to let the Lord work in and through us with his light to stand against the darkness that is in and through our community. We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and be obedient to that walk. For the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the glory of the Lord is over us right now? Do you believe right here in this place, as we have come together to thank God for what he's doing, to worship him and praise him, that his glory, what's that word, Shekinah? The Shekinah. We had a guy here last week, didn't we? His name was Shekinah, wasn't it? Andrew? Yeah. Shekinah glory over this place. When we were in the when we were in Malawi, we were told by the local people that the compound where the missionaries stay glows green at night time. Now, I don't know whether God's favourite colour is green, but obviously in Malawi, the glory of God shining over that is green. And the Malawi people, whether they are Muslim or followers of Jesus or not, they all know it. They all see it. It's all very evident to them. I wonder if we had our eyes opened, what glory of God we would see in and over our lives, in and over this place, in and over your house, in and through our community. Lights being lit all over the place. For us as a church, We need to move forward in 2018. But we have a challenge. Richie has resigned and his last day at work is the 3rd of January. We no longer have a Richie to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. At the moment, we've got Vonnie and Angela and Jamie in our CIA area and working long hours just to get the average things done and make sure it all happens. We need folk to say, yep, I can come in and do some work in there during the week to make that all work through. We need other people with with other handy skills to be able to come in and make sure those sort of things flow on some of the other jobs, which I think is only, what, James, 3 pages long, the list of jobs that Richie did. So it's not a lot of things, but it's enough. The other thing that we've got happening and we're aware of is that James finishes up at the end of this year, a month, for those that were saying Christmas. 6 weeks. 6 weeks, James? Counting? No, good man. But James finishes up. So what happens with four-wheel driving? What happens with K2? Are there people that will jump into that spot and say, yeah, this is a great opportunity? I'm still passionate about the four-wheel driving aspect of things. Can I paint you a little picture of it? Firstly, when we come together during the week on a Sunday like this, if you come at 9:30 and leave at 11:30, that means we hang out together for 2 hours. Majority of that time of hanging out, you're either singing or listening to someone like me preach. You're not getting to know each other real well. Sorry about that. You get to stay and have a coffee, and in and through that time, you might talk to a few people. You might find out a little bit what you can pray for them for, but generally speaking, a lot of people will get up and go straight away. So our area of community and our area of getting to know each other depends on how much we want to commit and put into that. On a camping trip, you don't just have 2 hours, or if we put it together over a month, 8 hours. On a four-wheel drive camping, you go away for the whole weekend. You get to have breakfast, you get to have lunch, you get to have dinner, you get to go four-wheel driving with each other, you get to hang out, you get to find out of each other, you get to share around God's word on a Sunday morning. It's a great opportunity of connecting with folk and sharing faith in a different way. K2, on a Wednesday night, we start with a meal. And so for the first 45 minutes or so, all we're doing is eating and chatting and getting to know each other. And then for the next, we're supposed to finish at 8, but we're lousy at that role, James. We never finish at 8. I don't usually get home before 9 because people just stay and chat. We had one time where it was 10 to 8 and we thought all we need to do is get into groups of 3 each and pray for 10 minutes. That'll be plenty. 10 minutes, plenty of time to pray. 8:30, people were still praying in groups of 3. It was just amazing because of relationship, because of community. We need folk who are going to say, yep, I'm going to put my hand up. I'm going to arise and I'm going to shine in those areas of ministry and make it happen. When the darkness comes in, we need to stand up. We need to arise and we need to shine. As you've heard from Avril this morning, we're going to do our service differently. The next aspect of our service together is talking about vision, about our lives, about our commitment. Opportunity for us to say to the Lord, yes, I will arise. Yes, I will shine. One of the books I'm reading at the moment is the Azusa Street Revival. And most of us know about Azusa Street, but what you may not know about is before Azusa Street happened, there was a whole bunch of other stuff that was taking place. And basically the sowing of the seed into Azusa Street is these people. Some of them pastors, some of them just normal people who were passionate about God, that they wanted to meet with him 24/7. All-night prayer meetings all over the town. People meeting together in all different denominations. No one denomination held it, but it was all across the area. Some of them by pastors. Sometimes the pastors would get there an hour after the movement had started. And local people just got in there and started praying or playing guitar or moving, and God just kept going. And then the pastor got there and went, okay, cool. I'll just sit back and I'll enjoy what God's doing. I won't get in and put my stamp on it. I'll let God be God. And out of that came Azusa Street, a revival in and through America. I don't know about you, but I think Australia is due for a revival of God's church, of God's people. And I'd like to see us, Kiwanis Life, arise and shine. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for what you want to do in and through us. But Lord Jesus, your challenge to us to shine is not to hide it under a bushel, to hide it under a bed, to not hide it behind any excuse or reason or rationale, to say, I'm too busy to shine my light. I've got other commitments. I can't shine my light. Father, I pray that shining our light might become the number one priority in and through our lives, that we would offer up a sacrifice to you of the other things that are getting in the road from us shining our light, from arising and shining and pushing back the darkness. Father, for that to happen, we need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord God, for you are the light of the world, to shine in and through us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.